Can the middle class be saved?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve kicks off a meeting today in Washington, and we're in for another debate over which is a bigger concern for the U.S. economy, inflation or unemployment. The Fed is expected to choose unemployment and announce it's shifting some of its investments in order to bring down interest rates on things like mortgages and car loans. That's supposed to get the middle class borrowing and spending again. Well, it's the future of the middle class that concerns Don Peck. He's a writer for The Atlantic, and he's got a big story in the September issue called Can the Middle Class Be Saved? Don Peck joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how do you define the middle class, first of all?
Well, I mean, I think that many college graduates today define themselves as middle class and are very worried. They should be because of the economic weakness we're seeing. But really what I was looking at was what I call the non-professional middle class, people with a high school diploma but not a college degree. These are the people that are really struggling in the U.S. today.
And what is the main cause of it?
Well, you know, even before the recession, this was a group that was under siege because of the technological substitution of labor and because of global offshoring. And what we saw in this recession is the acceleration of both of those trends. Companies pulled forward offshoring decisions, restructuring decisions that otherwise would have taken years. And high school graduates have really suffered as a result.
I think a lot of people think that in order to succeed in the future economy, you'll have to have a college degree. But you write that that might not actually be the case for everyone.
Well, I think we should support college education for anyone who wants it and try to widen it. But the fact is that only 30% of American adults, even young adults, have a college degree. And that number has been increasing extremely slowly. I think we need to find ways to build pathways into the middle class for people who finish high school but aren't necessarily cut out for college.
Do you think that there's some view from the sort of Donna Reed 1950s that a middle class family is supposed to be able to have a big house in the suburbs and a car and maybe take a vacation every once in a while, but that in fact, in the future or even now, that's not the middle class anymore. That's just the rich.
Well, I think it would be a shame if that were the case. You know, we can quibble about house sizes and the like. I think houses probably got a little too big for a while. But I think an important part of the American idea is a prosperous, upwardly mobile middle class. And my worry is that absent aggressive and really wide-ranging action to rebuild our middle class over time, you know, we could be left with more of a two-tier society. And I think that would be, unfortunate and not a country that many Americans really would want to live in.
Don Peck of The Atlantic, his new book is Pinched, How the Great Recession Has Narrowed Our Futures and What We Can Do About It. Don Peck, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We'll get earnings this morning from ConAgra, which makes packaged food products like Hunt's Ketchup and Healthy Choice. That company is being squeezed by the rising cost of ingredients. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, that squeeze is happening at every link in the food chain, from farm to supermarket.
Carlos Hernandez says it's been costing him more and more to stock his supermarket near Miami, but he says he's been trying not to raise his prices. The competition is tough, and his customers are mostly from low-income households.
A lot of times, milk goes up 4 cents a gallon, or 5 cents a gallon, 10 cents a gallon, and we don't raise our prices.
It might not sound like much, but it adds up when you sell 800 gallons of milk a week, and when you're eating the margins on dozens of other products, too. The price pressures in the grocery aisles are also preventing food companies like ConAgra and General Mills from passing on all of their increased costs. Ricky Volpe is a research economist at the Department of Agriculture.
We've seen an increase in fuel prices, which necessarily increases the transportation and the production costs for all these commodities.
The weak dollar and bad weather have also pushed food prices higher. Volpe says commodity prices should start dropping in the next few months, but it probably won't mean lower prices in the stores. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning across the globe, more than 1% right now in Frankfurt, even after Italy's credit rating was downgraded this morning by Standard & Poor's. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 108 points to close at 11,401.
Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
General Motors is holding its board of directors meeting this week in China. Today, GM announced it would help its Chinese partner develop electric vehicles. But as our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, GM wants something in return.
In 2009, GM was on the verge of bankruptcy. In a desperate move for cash, the company sold a 1% stake of its China joint venture to its Chinese partner for $84 million. That 1% gave its partner SAIC a 51% majority control of its China operations. Michael Dunn, author of a book about GM, says GM's wanted it back ever since.
When you have 51% of the joint venture in China, it means you set strategy, you appoint members to the board of directors, and you're also in charge of the money.
But if GM reclaims its 50% stake,
all of those top important strategic topics must be agreed upon before any decisions are taken. That's the difference.
GM hopes to buy back that share this week. The move is part of a larger display of GM's newfound confidence in China. The company just announced a new electric vehicle partnership with China, but GM's CEO said earlier this week that he's not about to share the most crucial electric vehicle battery technology with China. Proof that cooperation with China only goes so far. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, to a passenger train in India that went the wrong way for 18 hours and ended up hundreds of miles away from its destination. The problem? Officials accidentally used the station code BSP instead of BBS when they were setting the train's course, and many passengers were sleeping, so they didn't even notice. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell goes away on Tuesday, but people discharged under the policy wanting to get back into the service isn't going to be all that easy.
It's not the Navy that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Retention across the military is high. The Marine Corps has a waiting list to get in.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Big lines, long waits. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.